Well, I too wish to greet each one of you in Jesus' name and welcome you to this, I'll repeat it, special service. It's been said before, but I'll say that again because that's how I think about tonight. So we welcome those who are local, the local church family, and also friends and family. It's good to see you, and trust you will feel welcomed and blessed by this service here tonight as well. I already said that I greet you in Jesus' name. And let me just say it a little differently. In the name of Jesus, we greet you tonight and welcome you to this service. And I say it that way because it's part of my message titled for tonight, and that is, In the Name. Now, we're going to look at a verse in particular that uses that phrase. And I think if you'll listen closely, you will hear that phrase also in the vows. I had not seen, or I had not heard, baptismal vows in quite a while. And so I listened closely as Brother Duane read them downstairs as we sat together, and it was there. And so you'll be thinking about that this evening. This service tonight is being held at the request of the applicant, Jessica Zimmerman. This service is being held tonight under the direction and blessing of our bishop and the spiritual leadership here at Fourth Avenue. And further, this service is being held with the sought after and received blessing of the local body, the Assembly of the Saints here. And finally, as I greeted you in the opening, this service is being held by the request and under the direction and with the blessing of the one who said that we should have services like this. Turn with me to Matthew 28. I'm going to just spend my time in three verses tonight. And I think I have about 5 points. But I'm thinking about the subject, in the name. And I think to help us understand the subject, we're asking the question, what is in a name? In the name. Matthew 28, verse 18, familiar scriptures. Maybe we could quote them. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. As I was pondering this responsibility for this message tonight, I thought about this command of Jesus, and I went to read it again, just to see the words, and I was struck by this thought. And so we want to view, we talk about these verses and we reference these verses and we understand that they apply to us today and they motivate us in lots of ways. But tonight I want to think of these verses through the prism of the question or the statement. In the name. What is in the name? Jesus said, baptizing them in the name. And so on. I was thinking about the name. I thought about other places in the Bible where this same statement was made. There are many, but one of them that I thought about was David. There, as he came up to face the giant, and he said, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Interesting words. You see, just thinking about names for a little bit, mankind understands the value of a name. Tonight, we didn't just come, we came to a baptism service, but it was specific in that it's a baptismal service with Jessica Zimmerman in focus. And that means something to all of us because we know each other. But it means something even regardless of that, because that's how we know ourselves. And so there is value in a name. It means something to both parties, the one who's asking it and the one who is being asked. It means something to us. This name does. My name. It's pleasant to hear someone speak our name. And we do well to do that with each other sometimes. And sure, it's great to call your wife honey, but maybe there's a time to say the name, because it means something to both of us. In fact, another way to understand how valuable names are, one of the ways in which mankind has discovered that he can dehumanize is to remove the name. And so when you become a number, you really are a nobody. And the abuses that happen today is when children don't grow up with somebody who says their name or gives them some other slur by which they're to answer to. And so we treasure our names. They connect us. They give us belonging. Others know who we are, where we fit in. And if you don't believe it, just get around some Mennonites for a little while trying to figure out who each other are. Oh, yeah, so you must be related to, and it's not just Mennonites. I've discovered that's something that gets around quite a bit. But it places us, even if it places us in a family, it places us in a culture, it places us in a whole lot of things. Names do that. But what about God? What about, I just said the name God. What about that name? And tonight we are not going to go into some kind of a study of Hebrew and Greek and sorting apart the best way to pronounce and the best. I don't think there's probably value in that, but it's not the focus of this service tonight. But what about God? When Moses asked God, now, who should I say to Pharaoh? Who is it that's sending me? And God said, just say that I am. That I am is sending you. What does that mean? It means that here is someone whose best reference to himself is himself. There isn't a single one of us that have that. Oh, we may want to puff our chests out and say, well, I am Tim, that I am Tim. I don't know. What would that mean? It means very little. In fact, other people looking on. But it means that there is no one outside of myself that is responsible for me. None of us can say that, but God can. And that's what was going on here. He said, I am that I am. You see, like I already mentioned, our names connect us to our parents, our heritage, our culture, whatever it might be. For God, his name connects him to himself. And so this we must understand, first of all, about our God. And second, the reason we see the three names listed here, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, is because God wants us to understand something about who he is as he has revealed himself to mankind. That is why Jesus said what he did, and what is recorded here in the scripture for us. He wanted us to understand something about himself. How? Because just to say I am that I am does not give us much understanding of our God, does it? It does give us a very important understanding. But God has revealed himself to mankind, and we have that book, we have that scripture, we have that knowledge, that teaching. And so Jesus is saying here, baptize them in the name, and we're going to look at this a little bit more as we go along. He didn't just say in the name of God. He didn't just say in the name of Christ. But he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that is telling us something about this God. And we're going to think of that some more as we go along here. And so let's think about these 5 points. And they come right from this text. It's basically just an expository view of these verses. And the first one I'd like to think about is, we've already read these verses, 18 through 20, is point one. Jesus came and spake unto them, those who were in the mount and had come to him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We're thinking about what's about to happen here in the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And this first phrase that stands out to me is that Jesus has the privilege and the authority and the power to make the statement. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That tells us something else, doesn't it? What else does that tell us about Jesus? What else does that tell us about this statement? What do we learn in this statement? I'm asking a question. Maybe if somebody has it and they want to respond quickly, I'll take it. It says that there's another power, doesn't it? Jesus was given this power. Jesus himself is pointing, first of all, he's making the statement, and it is truth, the fact that he really does have all power. There are many people in this world who would like to make that statement, and in fact do make that statement until it's over. But here is Jesus making a statement that all power is given, and it truly has been given, because it has been given by the one who's created power. It has been given by God. And so we see here in these verses that not only does Jesus have power and authority, but it is given to us. Baptize you in the name of the Father God. He is the one who has given. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, has been given power. And he finally, after he had finally become the perfect sacrifice, the prophecy had been fulfilled. The Old Testament types and the shadows had been replaced by the bright light of the sun. And so Jesus, that's why he could say this, because he had fulfilled everything that the Father had said that you must do. And then the Father gave to him all power. And Jesus is saying, now, all power has been given to me, and this is what should happen. And so, baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so, Jesus came back to the disciples and said, I am all power. That is me. No, he did not say, when Jesus came back, I just want to make this point clear once more before we move on. When Jesus came back, he did not say, I am all power. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. This was given to him by the Father. The next thing we see Jesus saying here, he says, go, and he says, teach. Go and teach. Not new words. We've studied these verses. But he says, go and teach. And so tonight, as we think about this service, as we bring this down to 4th Avenue, Altoona City, outside, as we've gathered in this snowstorm, we stand here on holy ground because we are obeying the Christ of all power. That is why we are here tonight, for no other reason. Some of you may have come to observe, and that's fine, I understand that, but I hope that you also are a part and understand tonight to be standing here on holy ground because we are obeying the command of the Christ. Jesus said, I have come to provide the final sacrifice. It is done. Now go and teach in my power. That's what he's saying. Go and teach it. Go and tell it. Go and represent this truth that we understand here. Go and teach. The third thing that I see here is he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. This statement that Jesus made here encompasses all of God's plan. It encompasses all of God's plan. It encompasses it the role of the Father God as He revealed Himself to mankind up through the Old Testament, as I already references, as God pointed to the One who is to come. Everything. See, it's the reason that Christ, I believe, made this so clear, baptizing in the name of the Father, is because unless Jessica or anyone else who bends their knees to take this baptism that's being discussed here, unless they have at least a simple understanding of the God who has put the plan in place and sent His only begotten Son, there is no salvation. And so what He's being taught here is that, first of all, we baptize in the name of the Father God, the Creator God, the Jehovah God, the I Am that I Am. This name we baptize in. And so we see the next statement, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son. And of the Son. The Son has come, and through Him has come to us the new dispensation, the new wine, the possibility of the new bottles, the glorious gospel, the new birth, the resurrection. All of those words that mean must have value to those that are to be baptized. That I've just touched a few pieces of what being baptized in the name of the Son is about. He is our 1 Corinthians 1 verse 28. He is our righteousness. He is our redemption. He is our sanctification. He's our wisdom. That is this baptism that we're entering into here tonight. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of Christ. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And tonight, I wish we could see just a little more clearly what that really means. If all of us were powerfully perfect in Christ, then we could see it a little clearer, couldn't we? If all of us could just see beyond the blur and the fog and the smog of this life, we could see the fullness of this power. But Scriptures tells us clearly that one day every man will see the fullness of this power. Every man will. And so tonight, this is part of our understanding of this baptism. This baptism is a recognition of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer. Hallelujah. And that's what this baptism is about tonight. Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and in my name, in me, in the Son. And He says also of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said earlier in this same book of Matthew, He said, I need to go. I need to go so that the Comforter can come. And tonight, I'm not going to get down into the weeds of trying to separate out between what changed and how is the work of the Holy Ghost different than it was in the Old Testament, the New Testament. I just know that Jesus said, I need to leave so that the Holy Ghost and the Comforter can come. And it did. Acts 2. And it still is coming. the Holy Ghost. And that is one of the reasons tonight we gather together. The presence of God is here with us in the form of His Spirit. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And so it is right. We understand this. The applicant requesting baptism must understand this. That tonight we are baptizing in the name of the Holy Ghost. Because it is the power of God. It is the presence of God. It is the comfort of God. It is the assurance of God. It is Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I do. I don't understand that. But he did say, those who do not see me and believe. He recognized that there is going to be those who respond to Christ by the work of God and the Holy Spirit. We have that privilege tonight, brothers and sisters. And Jesus said that we are to be baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost. Tonight, this service means many things. But let's not forget the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. Let's not forget the pouring out. Just that water. There isn't any special wafers that have been put into this water. It hasn't been prayed over and blessed and turned into something other than H2O. But it typifies what we believe by faith in the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. And it is with us, and we must have it. We need it. Jessica, you're going to need the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And tonight, I believe that prior to the water being poured, that Holy Ghost is present. But there is a special recognition and understanding of its importance and faith in its reality that is typified, symbolized in the pouring out of the water tonight. Now, just for a little something extra here yet on this point. If you'll go over into Acts 2, which timeline-wise was very soon after Matthew 28, you will notice that Peter preached a message there to those who had came to listen after the Holy Spirit had come down. And Peter, as he gave answer to their request, what shall we do? He said, be baptized. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Was Peter saying something different? What do these measure, or do they not? And that's a discussion that's, I don't know that I would need to bring it in here, but I think it's fair that we would just recognize it for a moment. Peter knew who he was preaching to that day, and he was preaching to the Jews. And he was preaching to a people who knew, had a very good understanding of Jehovah God. He was preaching to a people who understood the Old Testament and all its laws and the requirements of God, and also the promises and prophecies of a Redeemer. A Savior. And so he said to them, it is important, in fact, he made it clear in the verse or two before that. He said, he was reminding them that their God, who they knew, and these are the words that he used, had made Jesus both Lord and Christ. And so for the Jews, their crisis was accepting Jesus as Savior. It doesn't in any way change these verses. This message of Christ here in Matthew 28, because what Jesus, the words of Jesus were brought. See, not everybody knew God like the Jews did. And it happens to be the Gentiles of which we are. And so as we take this message abroad. These verses help us to understand that we must teach Jehovah God so that we can teach the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and so that the Holy Ghost can also enter in and be part of this experience. And so that's what I see happening here. All men must understand the one who made the Son both Lord and Christ. And there's another dimension to this, because it seems like in a timeline, if you wanted to create one, you see the time of Jehovah God pointing to the Christ that is to come. And then you see the time of Christ as he walked. And while he is still the Christ of all power, he has left. And he said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send and leave behind the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And that is this day. That is where we're at today. That is the picture that Jesus was representing in this statement. That's where we're at today. And that time will end. That time will end. And of the Holy Ghost. So, we baptize tonight in the name of the Father, the I Am That I Am. We baptize in the Son, the Lord Christ, my Redeemer. And we baptize in the present, indwelling Holy Ghost of God. That's, I believe, what is being taught in this verse. The one who is with us tonight. Amen. Let me go to my fourth point, and that is, Jesus went on and he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Continue to teach all things. That's what Jesus said. And I see in these verses, if I may, it seems like what Jesus was saying, it's very important that men and women understand the plan of God, who God is, so that they can accept the Christ of God, the Son of God, so that I can dwell in their hearts by faith. It's all wrapped up in this baptism. And he says, but it's not over yet. We're not all done yet. It still hasn't all been finished. And so continue to teach, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. So praise God tonight. We can baptize before we have taught all things. Because if that was the case, we'd never get to the baptism, would we? Really, that's the way it is. And so tonight, Jessica, you have just gotten started learning. And the church is not nearly done teaching. And before that makes you uncomfortable, that's a statement that fits every one of us. That's just the way it is. And so we press on into the all things. Are we okay with that? We press on into the all things. Do we desire to know is the next question that we need to ask ourselves. Do we have ears to hear? Do we? Do we have ears to hear? I know you hear my voice, but that's not what I'm talking about. Do we have ears to hear? Man has been given this responsibility. It's made clear here in this verse. Fathers and mothers and bishops and church leaders, this is our work. By the power and the spirit of him that said go. And so, we can do this by the power of God, by the power of Christ, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. This commandment is for us today. And my fifth point, final point, until the end of the world, it says. Even unto the end of the world. Now, what is the end of the world? Well, back in the day, they used to believe that was somewhere just about as far as you could see off of the shore, and somewhere out there, it's a falling off place, and it would sort of end out there somewhere. What is the end of the world? Often, some place far away comes to our minds, and that is correct. I had to think about it. I can assure you from the mountain that Jesus was speaking here, Altoona, Pennsylvania was a long ways off. And so sometimes we sort of think that the gospel sort of from where I'm at and out it goes, and that's the right way to think because it is our responsibility to go out with that gospel. But it does also help us to think that somehow by the grace of God, the gospel has come this far to us. To me, to you. I do believe, however, what fits best for this verse is maybe to say it this way, until the end of the age. Until the end of the world. Until the end of the age. You see, tonight, dear friends, the door is still open. The command is still to go and teach. The command is, come on bended knee and be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. The invitation is still extended. But that age will end. Until the end of the world. Until the end of the age. Until the Holy Spirit is withdrawn. Until that trumpet sounds. However you want to put those end time events together, the main point is until the opportunity has been withdrawn from mankind, at that point, there'll be no more baptism. This will have been brought to a close. It will come to a sudden end. And so Jesus is saying, but tonight is still the time to baptize. Tonight is still the time to teach. Tonight is still the time to go. Tonight is still the time to understand that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the gospel message, the redemption in Christ Jesus is still being extended to us by the Father. And so we rejoice in that. And so in this service, we believe a simple ceremony, a simple ordinance, will make a powerful statement. A statement that will be heard both in heaven and in earth. This statement, this baptism tonight, is a public testimony of what God has by the power given to His Son, already done in the heart, and a testimony and witness of what He will yet do. What He will yet do. Because it's not over yet. And do we believe that all power is given? I must confess that as I studied this, I got some new space, I don't know, between my shoulders and the weight or the burden that was there. And those who have named this Christ, recognized Jehovah God, and on bent knee were baptized in a far-off land, Bangladesh. And Jesus says, all power is given to me. And so He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So names do matter. Let's be certain. We're laying claim and in relationship with the only name that will last throughout all eternity. That name, the Lamb that was slain, Christ our Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says this, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. May God bless all of us tonight. Thank you.
I have believed for many years that when a moderator of a service stands up and greets people in the name of Jesus, that a whole lot more is said than the tones that reach the ear. It's such a perfect greeting. And the Christian is one who understands and has experienced the delight, the thrill, and the joy of hearing the name of God, hearing the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. As Brother Tim was preaching, I thought of the different songs that are part of our memory. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest song on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, the very thought of thee. It's another one. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. Somebody wrote those words, and they ended up saying more than what the words actually frame themselves. And I heard that thought coming out in our teaching this evening. This is a gift and a power and a grace that we carry with us wherever we go, whether it's in worship here at the church, whether it's in communion with our families, speaking to our neighbors, going across the sea to tell someone about Jesus, meeting someone in the towns and villages. We carry this name. And that was the whole purpose of Jesus saying this. Take it with you. Take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. And tonight we are going to baptize in those names, in that name, because we are supposed to, but also because we learned and come to understand that there is both power and blessing in living that way and using it that way. Well, it's been good to be here. Appreciated Brother David's thoughts. It's true. We say it so often, it's almost cliche. But I dare say that we wouldn't have very much church if we didn't really actually feel that way. If we would come together, what people have experienced that, and many of those people, when they come together and they cannot testify that it's been good to be here, it's only a matter of time till their souls dry up and the relationship with the Lord and the church is lost. So it's more than just a cliche. It really is a testimony that needs to be a constant in our gathering together. Well, we are here for a baptism. Baptism is that great act of the will, an act of the church, whereby a person who has had a genuine change with Christ in a public way tells everyone to watch, and they make the commitment, the statement, and they obey the scriptures to be baptized. No, we do not believe that the water is special. Brother Tim taught us that. We do not believe that the water will wash away like a shower would, but it symbolically shows what the blood has done. That's definitely washed away. And it really takes faith to be authentically baptized. It takes surrender to be authentically baptized. Isn't it strange how it's entirely possible to get baptized as a joke? But it's been done. And people have bragged about it while they did it. Guess I got that done. And these people do these things to their own destruction, because it really is a pathway that God has laid out for his followers to simply follow and thereby find joy and peace and eternal life. And it's two different camps that those two different people end up in. Tonight, there's so much that lies on Jessica's shoulders as an applicant, so much that lies on our shoulders as leaders, discerning, is the Spirit there and at work? Do they understand? Those are all decisions that have been made. And tonight, we are blessed that Jessica, the daughter of Marcus and Lorraine Zimmerman, has heard the call of Christ and responded. followed the steps to salvation. And as a ministry, we've spent time with her, instructed her, and we believe that she is ready for baptism. So tonight, because of her witness and because of her testimony, we intend to go forward with that. But I would just like to remind each of you tonight who have been baptized yourself to think back. Listen carefully. Perhaps I will not say the five questions, the five confessions, exactly like the bishop did when you were baptized, but I dare say there will be enough similarities that you can go back and give yourself a little test grade of where you're at today and how true you've been and how real the confessions really were. Belief in God, belief in the Christ, belief in the Spirit, penitence for sin, commitment to the body of Christ. Listen as we go through these confessions with our sister and check yourself and ask yourself anew, am I just as committed and consecrated as I was on that day? Jessica, if it's still your desire, you may come forward to receive baptism.
Jessica, do you believe one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all things, visible and invisible? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died upon the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, so that through him we might have eternal life? Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is the Comforter, who abides and sanctifies the hearts of believers and leads them into all truth? Are you truly sorry for all your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? You promise by the grace of God, the aid of the Holy Spirit, to submit yourself to Christ, His Word, and His Church, and to faithfully abide as a saint. I will now kneel with Jessica for a consecration prayer. I ask the congregation to stand for this prayer. Father, which art in heaven, thank you for this day, thank you for this place, and thank you for Jessica. Father, we also thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the opportunity we have to become saved and to receive the gift of salvation, eternal life in Jesus Christ, the washing away of our sins, that we don't have to struggle with guilt and with shame of all the evil things, ugly things that we have done. Our Father, we just pray tonight for Jessica, as she has made her declaration, as she has given this commitment of her faith in you, her faith in your Son, and her faith in the power of your Spirit. Give her her confession, Lord, repentance from sin, her commitment to the church. And tonight, Lord, we ask that you would record these things in heaven for her eternal benefit. Tonight, we pray for Jessica Swan, for Marcus and Lorraine. Thank you, Lord, for them. And thank you for the investment in their lives and the many different ways in which they are instrumental in her making this choice and how they correct. And I just pray that you continue to help them to be good instructors for her, to be good parents for her, to give her the best, and to bring her more perfectly into your will through their guidance, their counsel, and their direction. Father, we pray for this congregation as we are about to baptize Jessica into this congregation. We pray that they could receive this new soul into the membership. And we pray that what is done here would stand in our hearts and on yours for time and eternity. So, Father, look upon us and be witnesses, our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Congregation, may be seated, Brother Ernest. Your confession that you have made before Christ and His Church, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. in this church. Jesus Christ was raised up by the power and glory of the Father. He was so he could have been raised up in the newness of life. Tonight you are a new creature in Christ. I walk circumspectly in this new faith, this new life. Be faithful and abide in the doctrine and commandments of the Word and of the Church of Jesus Christ. Tonight you are his disciple. We recognize you as a member of the family congregation. Ask our song leader to lead us in a few verses of song while the ministry comes forward to meet our new sister.
918, Hymns of the Church. 918.
Maybe Jessica would not like this, but there's a sense in which there's a new baby here, and you all want to come see it, don't you? Well, in a way, we would see her as a babe in Christ, and yet we really do welcome you into this brotherhood as an equal, and we intend to treat you that way. We intend to treat you as one that is a full member, one is that is a has full privileges, and so forth. But you do have a responsibility, brotherhood, to this young lady. She's someone for you to take care of, someone for you to look out for, and someone for you to take a genuine interest in. It's one of the reasons why we encourage those who are baptized after the services to stand here at the front of the auditorium. And we'd like you to come forward and meet her tonight. Welcome her, greet her. It's an excellent time, youth, to practice the Bible commandment of the Holy Kiss. It's something that the Bible repeatedly tells the disciples of Christ to do, and we encourage you to do that. There's one more aspect to baptism that sometimes it gets talked about and sometimes it doesn't, but if you do any kind of study of the anointings that took place in the Old Testament, you will notice that people like Aaron and many of the kings were anointed before they went into their service. As you continue to read on into the New Testament, you will notice that Jesus himself was baptized. And many people perplex over why the perfect Christ was baptized, because there was no washing away of sin that had to be testified of, and there was no new faith that he was acquiring. Many people believe that the primary reason Jesus was baptized was because it too was an anointing for the king. And from that moment forward, you see him going out and becoming the Messiah, serving miracles at Cana. Blind people began to get their sight. And there's a sense in which when a person is baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ, that becomes this moment in time from which their Christian service starts. And so there's a sense in which from now on, when you go to traditions, you got some new jobs you didn't have before. Or when you talk to the neighbors, or if you see another sister in the congregation that might need some help with her children, you're pretty sure that they just couple with the chicken pox and the beans aren't getting done, well, then you can go help them. You've been anointed for that kind of thing. And it's something to think about. We do not get baptized to become polished stones to put on somebody's display case. But we rather become anointed to become workers in the vineyard. And you'll see that develop in your life, Jessica. If you're eager for it, you will find it. It'll come in like a flood, and it'll be there. And that's okay. Do as much as you can, because that's one of the reasons you were anointed. Well, thank you to each one for coming. Thank you for being here, supporting us with your presence, helping with the singing, listening to the preaching of the word, participating in the service. May God bless you. Are there any announcements before we close? Drive safely on the way home. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank you for this day, and thank you for this place. It truly was good to be here. And Father, we saw what happened here tonight, and once again we lift up our voice and say, stamp it with your own approval, Lord. That's our prayer. Now, as we're ready to leave this place, we ask for safety. Some of the roads are pretty slippery out there, and it's dark now, and we won't be able to see all the dangerous spots. So I pray that you will go with us as we drive. I also pray that you go with us because there will be spiritual slippery spots. Most of us are going to face temptations this week, Lord. Most of us are going to be tested in some of the statements of faith we made today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be with us and go with us and keep us so that we can discover the eternal joy of having been received by you because we have lived for you today and tomorrow. Go with us and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.